morning. I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading there in a moment from verse 17 through 22. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here with us this morning as we look to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as already been mentioned, there are a number of our members here, are those who normally worship with us, who are gone, who are away from us this morning, many traveling due to a wedding. But with that said, we do have many visitors here this morning, and we are definitely thankful and grateful for your presence and for your heart's desire to be with us, to be with those who look to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's exactly what our goal and our aim is this morning, as we search the Scriptures and as we look to find these things to make application to our life, to better be able to serve Him. We'd like to, again, invite you to open up to Mark, the 10th chapter, and that's where we'll be reading from this morning. You know, this story here of the rich young ruler that we see in the Gospel accounts is one that is pretty familiar to us. It's one that we hear referenced a lot in sermons. It's one that we might reference a lot in conversations. It's one that we've probably heard a sermon or two on. And it's due to its powerful nature and the fact that the story is so applicable to us and to our society. But you know, before we get into this and read this account that we have here in Mark chapter 10, I would like to make, you know, kind of the comment, the statement to look at this from a very personal lens this morning. Really looking at yourself, making application this morning. Because, you know, we have a tendency whenever we read stories to think that it might apply to somebody else. Then we read stories and think, well, that's great, that's an awesome story in application there, but it just doesn't necessarily fit me. And I think as we go through this, we're a lot more like the rich young ruler sometimes we'd like to think, or sometimes that we do think. You know, oftentimes we read through and we think, well, he's rich and I'm not rich, that's for rich people. Or he's young and it might be that you're not young, I'm not putting an age on a number. But you might think, well, I'm not young, that's for somebody else. Whatever the case may be. But look at this story this morning through a personal lens, and I think we're going to see that we are a lot more like this individual than we might think whenever we normally go through and read the story. But as you look here in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, we read, "Now as he was going out," that'd be Jesus, "going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, follow me." He was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As I said, a lot of times when we read the story, we might look at it and think that's a great story, and we pull different pieces and try to make application to our life. And that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. Like I said, I want you to look at it from the lens of making a personal application this morning, because I think we're a lot more like this rich young ruler sometimes we think whenever we read the story. The first things we see there is that this rich young ruler has a desire and interest in spiritual things. We see in verse 17 that he wants to know what it will take to inherit eternal life. By your presence here this morning, I'd say that's probably a question that you have as well. It's on your mind. It's on your thought process. What do I need to do in order to get to heaven? What is it going to take to inherit eternal life? How do I get there? How do I do it? We're told throughout the Bible that there's a heaven, there's a hell, that there's going to be a day of judgment. I want to be on the right side. I want to be one that's counted as righteous, one that can inherit eternal life. How do I do that? It's a desire that he has. It's an interest that he has. He has it an interest in spiritual matters. He also knows and has kept the commandments from his youth. And we see that there in verse 18. So not only does he have a desire and is asking the question in the spiritual line of thinking, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? But then as Jesus tells him to keep the commandments, and he lists some various commandments there, he's kept those. I've kept these from my youth. In other words, what we see from this rich young ruler is this individual is one that knows the commandments. He knows some of God's word, and he's made application to his life. And again, I judge by your presence here this morning, you would fall in line with that. You want to know what it takes to inherit eternal life. You know there are commands out there that you need to keep. That is something that most of us do. You know, we see in Colossians 3, verse 2, that we are to set our mind on things above, seeking things above, seeking heaven, trying to figure out what it's going to take to inherit eternal life. We see in 1 Peter 2, 2, that we are to desire the Word of God. On that text and context, he's talking about his newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. But the idea there is that we are to desire the commands and the words of God, something this rich young ruler did. Not only that, but we read in Hebrews 11:6 that we are to diligently seek God. And then those who desire Him, who diligently seek Him, He's going to reward them. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So once again, just by your presence here this morning, your thought process, your appetite for being here, whenever there are many other things you could be doing, would lead me to believe that we probably fall in line with what this rich young ruler is. He has a desire and an interest in spiritual matters that we see throughout the Bible that we're to have. And these scriptures are ones that are commonly used or commonly known. Not only that, but this rich young ruler has a respect and a desire for Jesus and his teachings. We see the fact that he ran there in verse 17. He ran and knelt before Jesus. Jesus is walking. He's leaving the area and he's going to run and he's going to kneel before him. He wants to ask him this question. Why Jesus? Because he no doubt has a respect and a desire for Jesus and his teaching. He has a respect that Jesus, he has seen Jesus throughout his ministry. Jesus' word is, his reputation has gone throughout the area. People know who he is. He has a respect and a desire for him. So he's going to run and kneel down and ask him this question, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? No doubt, Jesus, I've seen what you're doing. I've seen what you've done. How do I inherit eternal life? You could be one that answers that question. And not only that, but we recognize the fact that he calls him good teacher. Now, Jesus tells him, why do you call me good? There's no one good except God. But the fact that he recognized that Jesus is a good teacher, he teaches the word of God, tells us that he has a respect and a desire for Jesus and his teaching. And once again, with your presence here this morning and your interest in spiritual things, I would tend to believe that you probably are along those same lines as well. Matthew 17, verse 5. We studied there past Sunday, there whenever Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we read that it is said, hear him. We are to hear and listen to Jesus and his teaching. That's what we're here doing this morning. We read in Matthew 28:18. That Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When Jesus gives the Great Commission, this is what he says. I have all authority. Go out and go teach and preach those things that I have taught you. Go teach and preach the gospel. There's no doubt that that's what we're to do. We're to respect and desire Jesus and his teachings for who he is, the one who has all authority. The one who God says, you hear him and his words and what he says. The reason why we do that is because him, his words, the Father's words are both the same. We also read in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that we are to imitate those as much as they imitate Jesus. Paul says there, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. It's not that we imitate Paul. We imitate Paul as Paul imitates Jesus. And so the point there being that we have this respect and desire for Jesus' teaching. And when we see those who are living that, who are teaching that, and it's not contradiction to what Jesus taught or to God's word, we imitate that in our life as well. So we see this rich young ruler runs and kneels before Jesus, seeking an answer to his question on a spiritual matter, on spiritual levels, calling him a good teacher, recognizing him as one who would be able to possibly answer this question for him. No doubt. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked that question. Again, I think that falls right in line with where we are, right? Here this morning, worshiping God, having a desire and interest in spiritual things, and having a desire and respect for Jesus and His teachings as we are studying from the Word of God this morning. You know, something else about this rich young ruler is compared to the world, he's an outstanding individual. We read there, and we've already noted it, but he kept the commandments that were listed there by Jesus in verses 19 through 20. Jesus tells, he asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells him, you know the commandments, and he lists those commandments there, and his response is, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. So he's kept the commandments that were listed, and he's kept them from his youth. This is not an individual who's running up to him and asking him about eternal life, inheriting eternal life, somebody who has not known the Scriptures at all, has not known God at all. He's been taught it. He's learned it. He's kept it from his youth. And as Jesus tells him, this is what you must do to inherit eternal life, he tells him, I've kept those. And so we see here that compared to the world, he's an outstanding individual. You also take the fact that this is a rich young ruler. This is a man that has success here on this earth. And then you look at those commandments listed, and many of them go through, and they're talking about person-to-person relationships, right? Don't steal. Don't do. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Now, obviously, if you commit one of these, you sin against God. But the point being that the ones that we're looking at here, this is an outstanding individual. Compared to the world, he's successful from the standpoint of his life and wealth. But in doing so, he's not scum of the earth. He's not one that's out doing evil deeds necessarily. We don't see it written that he's one that's out committing all these horrendous acts of unrighteousness. This is an individual that compared to the world is doing really well and would stand out in the world. And we kind of get that point after the fact that he walks away sorrowful in verse 22, that whenever Jesus then goes on to talk about the fact that it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They're sitting here and they're, why is that? Because whenever they're looking at the one that just walked away, it's not that Jesus said a rich man that's horrible and horrendous and terrible and all this. This is an outstanding individual. This is one that would stand out in the world. And whenever you look at that and apply that to us, you think about scriptures like Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, where we read there, now the works of the flesh, we're talking about the works of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. You think about us being in this situation here, where we want to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we're able to go up to one, in this case, like he did with Jesus, and ask, what do I need to do? And you sit down and you run and you kneel before Jesus and you ask him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, you know what the works of the flesh are. Don't do them. You go through that list. You're like, okay, I'm good. Because the ones who do those things clearly are not going to inherit eternal life. Compared to the world, this is an outstanding individual. We would be feeling and believing the same. We see the same idea in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Where we read, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Again, you think about yourself in this situation, and you go and you kneel before Jesus, wanting to know what you need to do to inherit eternal life, and he lays out this list for you. And he says, hey, you know the works of unrighteousness. You don't do those things, because those who practice those things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And your response to that could be pretty similar to the rich young ruler. I kept all those. I don't do those things. What do I still lack? So again, we're not too far off from this rich young ruler. He's one who's desiring spiritual things. He's one who has a respect for Jesus and his teachings. He's one that, compared to the world, stands out. He's not of the world. He doesn't do the things from the standpoint of the works of the flesh or doing the things that the unrighteous do. Things that stand out and would be like, yeah, I don't keep those things. But you know, we're also like the rich young ruler. The fact that his trust is in his rich earthly riches. His trust wasn't in God. We see there in verse 22, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. We also read in verse 24, which we didn't read when we went through the reading, but it says there, Jesus talking, starting there in verse 24, it says, "And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?'" No doubt, that's what this man's problem was. It wasn't because he was rich. It's not a sin. It's not that you can't inherit the kingdom of God because you are wealthy here on this earth. We know that those blessings come from God anyways. It wasn't because he was rich, it's because he trusted in his riches. And again, like I said on the onset of this lesson, as I said at the beginning of this lesson, what we end up tending to do is we look at this and we say, you know what, this is a great story, but it's for somebody else. You know, we can always sit there and look at it and say, well, it's for them. They're richer than I am. Don't we have a tendency of doing that? Somebody else is always richer. Somebody else is always wealthier. It's always somebody else who, you know what? Somebody that's less fortunate and blessed as you are as far as wealthier on this earth, guess what? They're saying that about you. Oh, no, that's for them, not for me. Oh, no, that's for them. And then you can go on up the line. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that although this was a rich young ruler that we read about, how far different are we than this individual? Walking away sorrowful because he trusted in his riches. Like, I don't trust in my riches. You know, I might not be able to say exactly what it is materialistically that you trust in, that you are unwilling to get rid of this morning because there are so many different things that what might be a hindrance for me, what might be my thing that I would be unwilling to get rid of is different from you. But you need to look at yourself and say, is there anything on this earth that I am unwilling to walk away from, especially whenever it comes to these earthly riches? You know, especially when you look at our society and look at our culture, look at our country and how blessed we are compared to others. We have a lot more than what they have. And our society and our culture here as Americans is just completely inundated with the idea of materialism and needing to have this or that, keeping up with this or that, wanting this or that material possession. You know, we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where neither thieves break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Treasure isn't to be in the things of this earth. And a lot of times we end up looking at this story and we say, well, this is for a rich person. This is for somebody richer than me. It's not me in my situation. Again, I might not be able to point it out from this pulpit this morning for you. I might not be able to say exactly what it is that you are unwilling to get rid of. But it is up to you this morning to look at your life and think, is there a possession that I am unwilling to get rid of? That if I was in this situation, I'd be unwilling to get rid of. Is there something that I trust in that much? You might be thinking, well, there's nothing. There's no one possession that I'd be unwilling to get rid of. I mean, if Jesus tells me I need to do it, I do it. How many times do we walk through this life not studying our Bible like we should, not attending services like we should, not praying to God like we should, because we're out doing a hobby that involves a material possession that we absolutely love and we just can't get rid of? Or that we're continuing to work in a situation not to be able to put food on the table, but to be able to buy ourselves that material possession. And because of that, we're missing services. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time for the Lord. That's what this rich young ruler, it's what was going on in his life. Again, a lot of times we like to look at it and say, well, this is for them. It's not for me. It doesn't apply to my life. I think it applies to our life a whole lot more. Sometimes we'd like to think. But I tell you, it wasn't just the fact that he trusted in his earthly riches. That was his problem. Okay? As I said, it could be that for you this morning as well. Really, what the principle that we see of the story is that he has something that he is unwilling to give up. And I think that's where it happens a lot of times, where we take the story and we think, this applies to somebody else, there's some good principles here, but the story as a whole, it doesn't necessarily apply to me. We miss the point that Jesus is trying to make. Now, yes, obviously, he talks about this man in earthly riches, and then he goes on to make the point that, you know, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But what was the principle that was there? The principle that is there is that he has something that he's unwilling to give up. Remove the rich from it if that isn't your problem or your issue. Is there something that you are unwilling to give up in order to follow Christ fully, in order to follow Jesus fully? For the rich young ruler, it was his earthly treasure. It was his earthly riches that he had. You know, Hebrews 12, verse 1 tells us that we are to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily traps us and ensnares us. Is there something that you're unwilling to lay aside? We talked about this a month ago whenever we were talking about from 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 21 and 22 there, where we're to look at the Word of God, we're to test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. If there is something, some evil that you are continuing to hold on to, some sin, some weight, it is going to hinder your growth in the Lord. It's going to hinder you from becoming close to the Lord. It's a weight that is weighing you down, that is not letting you get through that barrier. You think, why am I not growing? Why am I at this point and I can't seem to get through this barrier? You have something that you're holding on to. This rich young ruler, he knew that he was lacking something. He tells us after Jesus says it, he says, what do I still lack? What you lack is you're unwilling to get rid of your earthly riches. It might not be that for you. What is it that you're unwilling to get rid of? What is that weight that is holding you down? Luke 14, 26 through 27. As I said, it might not be an earthly possession. It might not be actual riches. But here's where the rubber starts to meet the road with so many of us. Jesus talking says here, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Our family, our wives, our husbands, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, they can't come before the Lord. Looking at ourselves, it cannot come before the Lord. You have to completely get rid of self, completely remove that from your life in order to fully follow the Lord. As I said, it might not be the material possessions here on this earth for you. But is there a family member, a relationship that you have that you are unwilling to let go of in order to draw near to God? And you look at the question from the beginning of this lesson, what must I do to inherit eternal life? If Jesus told you that family member cannot be in your life, that family member is causing you to not be able to follow me fully, would you be willing to get rid of them? I'm not saying Jesus is telling you that you have to do that. What my point is that what's stopping you? Is that something that's causing you to grow? Family can't come before the Lord. Sadly, a lot of times it does. There are so many people that you study with, that you talk with, That as you study through and then they start to see what they need to do to obey the Word of God, they stop and they think, but if I do that, then that means that my loved one that has passed away did not obey. What am I then saying about them? I'm condemning them, right? And it stops them from having the relationship with Jesus that they are supposed to have, from obeying God in the way that they're supposed to. Is there something that you are unwilling to get rid of? Again, it might not be material possessions. It might be your family. It might be a hobby. It's something. Is there something that is keeping you from taking that step? That's the application you've got to make. Again, in this account, it was the rich young ruler and it was his rich. What is it for you? See, in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Is there something in this world, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a material possession, whether it's a hobby, maybe it's not that, maybe it's your reputation. You think if you just give up certain things, if you give up certain things that you might not have been opposed against, that your reputation is going to be hurt. I don't know what it might be for you. But the things of this world and the lust of it, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh and the pride of life, those things are all passing away. And he who does the will of God abides forever. What is keeping you from doing the will of God fully? It's what the rich young ruler had to come to grips with as he's sitting there and as he's asking Jesus a question. But you know what? It's not only that the rich young ruler, it's not the only thing we have in common with him, that he desired these things and that his earthly riches, he had something that was keeping him from fully serving the Lord. Something else that we see that we have in common with him is that Jesus has love and concern for him. We read there in verse 21 that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And no doubt Jesus loves us and God loves us. We see in John 3:16 that God gave his Son. We see in Romans 5, verse 8, that Christ died for us, the ungodly and the sinners of the world. And we read in John 15:13, "The greater love has no one than this, lay down his life for his friend." Yes, Jesus loved him. And in that same light, Jesus loves us as well. But I want you to understand and recognize and realize this, that Jesus' love for him did not change his demands for him in verse 21. Yes, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Again, this is a good, outstanding individual from the world's perspective when you look at him on the surface. He's kept the commandments. He knows God's Word. He has an interest in spiritual matters. He would stand out to an extent in the world. But Jesus understood that he was still lacking something. And even though this individual was outstanding, and even though him being a rich and young ruler, one that would have influence, if Christ might have thought, you know what, if I can gain him, then who else can I gain? And make a change to his will, to his demand for him. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus loved him, and he loved him by telling him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, not by changing what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And that what he needed to do was completely get rid of everything. Sell your possessions. That's where your trust is right now. You sell those things. Don't have your trust in them. Sell them. Take up your cross and follow me. We see the same idea in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 there. As the Ark of the Covenant is being transported, we read there in verse 6, "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand for the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the Ark of God." The Ark of God, that because it's being carried the way that it was, which if you go back and read the account, it should have been carried like that in the first place. That was a mistake that was made. The bottom line is, it was being carried this way. Nobody was touching, but an oxen started to stumble, and Uzzah takes out his hand to touch it to try to keep it from falling. And you would look at that and see, isn't this a noble act? I mean, Uzzah just doesn't want it to hit the ground. I mean, there ain't anything wrong with that, right? God does not change His commands, His demands, His will, just because somebody thought that they were doing what was right. What God said is what was. And there was no means of trying to justify it that was going to keep God from staying true to what His demands and His commands were. Uzzah ended up being struck dead. This rich young ruler ended up walking away sorrowful whenever Jesus gave him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. We read throughout God's Word these different accounts and these different situations where it would seem that it would make sense for God to change His will, His command, His demand, but it doesn't happen. What God says is the way it's going to be. A lot of times in the world, what we see is they want to look at Romans 12:2 and not really make the application to their life. In Romans 12:2, we read, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." We need to understand that God's Word does not conform to man. Man conforms to God. Rich young ruler was unwilling to take that step. He was unwilling to completely conform to the will of God and what he needed to do. You know, we read through and we think of this story and we look at it and, like I said, we try to make application to ourselves and our lives in various points. And I know that I've been guilty of it, that I go through and I don't look at the whole story and the whole account that I am that man. You know, you think of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Whenever you got Daniel there and Nathan comes to him, and Nathan lays out this story before him. And Nathan tells them that there was this rich man and poor man. The rich man had exceeding flocks, and the poor man had one little lamb. And that little lamb, he loved like a daughter. It was one that ate with his family that was close to him. And that rich man had somebody come into town, and he didn't want to take from his flock, so he went and took that poor man's lamb. And that's the one that he offered for the individual that was in town. David hears this account from Nathan, and David stands up and says, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall die." Of course, we know the response from Nathan, the response from God. In verse 7, when Nathan said to David, "You are the man, thus says the Lord God of Israel." Question I have for you this morning, of course, that account there in that story is with David and Bathsheba and what David had done there. What I ask you this morning, had a couple more things there. What I ask you this morning is, are you the man? Are you that man? Are you the rich young ruler who has a desire and interest in spiritual matters, has a respect and desire for Jesus and His teaching? Compared to the world, you're an outstanding individual. But your trust might be in your earthly riches, and it might not be that, but there is something that you are unwilling to give up. One that Jesus has love and concern for, but He's not going to change His demand for you of what you need to give up. Do you have something that you are holding on to, that you are unwilling to get rid of? What is it that you will keep, that you will keep a hold of and not let go of, that's going to keep you from eternal life? As I've said a couple times, I may not be able to list it for you. I know I can go through the different things in my life that impact me, the different things that I love to do, the different hobbies, the different relationships that I have. And I got to look at my life and I got to say, would I be willing to give that up? The point is, though, it's not would I if I was in this situation. We are in that situation. Are you willing to give that up? saying that you have to, but is that coming before the Lord? Is that relationship keeping you from obeying God fully? Is that possession keeping you from obeying God fully, for having your focus and your mind and your attention on Him? Is that hobby that you do? Is that goal, that task that you are after, that career, that reputation, that notification here on this earth, people knowing you, popularity, or any of those things keeping you serving God fully? So we're a lot more like the rich young ruler than we think at various points in our life. And if you have gotten over all those things that have hindered you from serving the Lord fully, if there is nothing that is hindering you, nothing holding you back, I encourage you to keep on keeping on. You keep doing whatever it is that you're doing. If there is something that is keeping you from fully serving God, I encourage you to look at it deeply, look at it hard, look at it interpersonally, and remove that from your life. There is nothing that we can hold on to in this life that is even comparable to what we will have, life eternal, serving the Lord. There is no relationship, there is no possession, there is no amount of reputation that's greater than that reward of fully serving Jesus, of getting rid of self, taking up our cross, carrying it daily. The verse is also true. There is nothing that's worth holding on to that would send us into eternal hell forever. What is it that's keeping you from serving the Lord? Move it from your life. You started your walk with God this morning.